So, with
apologies for any mispronunciations.
The reading is 2 Samuel
chapter 9,
verses 1 to 13. David and Mephibosheth.
David asked,
Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul
to whom I can show kindness
for Jonathan's sake?
Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba.
They summoned him to appear before David.
And the king said to him,
Are you Ziba?
At your service.
He replied.
The king asked,
Is there still no one alive from the house of Saul
to whom I can show God's kindness?
Ziba answered the king,
There is still a son of Jonathan.
He is lame in both feet.
Where is he?
The king asked.
Ziba answered,
He is at the house of Machir,
son of Ammiel,
in Lo-debar.
So King David had him brought from the house of Machir, son of Ammiel.
When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David,
he bowed down to pay him honor.
Don't be afraid,
David said to him,
for I will surely show you kindness
for the sake of your father Jonathan.
I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul,
and you will always eat at my table.
Mephibosheth bowed down and said,
What is your servant
that you should notice a dead dog like me?
Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him,
I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family.
You and your son and your servants are to farm the land for him
and bring in the crops
so that your master's grandson may be provided for.
And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table.
Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants.
Then Ziba said to the king,
Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do.
So Mephibosheth sat at David's table like one of the king's sons.
Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah.
And all the members of Ziba's household were servants of Mephibosheth.
And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem
because he always ate at the king's table.
He was lame in both feet.
Morning. Okay. Well, for those who are new to church,
we often have someone come and share a word,
and it's my opportunity this morning.
Just to say that if you've been in the worship and you weren't raising the hands, we want to give you everything we have of you.
And we give it worth to you.
We're saying we love you, God.
So I just wanted to say, you've seen people in your world.
That's a bit weird.
It can be.
But actually, it's because we're saying, God, we love you.
We want to recognize your kindness
for what you've done.
This morning, we're picking up on the theme of kindness.
I don't know how many of you are challenged each week, but I seem to be challenged this week quite a lot.
On this theme of kindness, as I was preparing.
Especially nearer the end of the week.
Anybody seen that film?
Hands up if you've seen that film.
I have seen it.
It's called Pay It Forward.
And it's got various people in it. I can't read the names on the screen.
But it was a good film.
And the idea is a young man says he wants to do things.
And then it's a school project in a way.
And then he does something good, he wants to give it to somebody else, it becomes this sort of movement.
And it goes around.
Lots of people.
This morning, we're picking up on potentially this idea of paying it forward.
Christopher J.H. Wright wrote a book, Cultivating the Fruit of the Spirit.
And some of what I'm sharing this morning is from the chapter on kindness.
And in it, he thinks that the essence of kindness is being thoughtful for others more than for myself in any particular situation.
The essence of kindness is being thoughtful for others more than for myself in any particular situation.
Does that remind you of anyone? Does it remind you of anybody in particular?
Kindness is a theme that challenges.
It's something that causes us to consider the why of an action.
Why am I doing that?
Why am I being kind?
What's the motive?
When we become Christians,
God's indwelling spirit starts to reproduce His character in our lives.
We then have to work out that character in practice.
I want to say that I speak to you from a place of imperfection.
I am still developing amongst many kindness as a habit of life.
At times, I am succeeding.
Yesterday, I was in London.
And somebody on the street said, have you got anything?
And I went and got him a sausage roll, and whilst in the queue, he went up to the counter and said, I'll have a steak bake.
Okay, he's having a steak bake.
So even in that thing, it's like I'm being kind, but I'm being kind.
Oh, that's a challenge.
And then I've seen in this week as well that I have failed to live out kindness.
Perhaps you can think in your week of times when you've been both showing it and not showing it.
In considering kindness as a habit of life, I want to begin by highlighting that kindness is part of the character of God as revealed in the Bible.
In the Old Testament, which is the first part of the Bible,
God is often praised for his kindness.
And in the Hebrew, the root of the word kindness is hesed.
Unfailing love.
Hesed is a rich meaning, translated in many ways.
Often translated as love, sometimes faithful love, sometimes it can mean loyalty, acting out a sentiment of commitment to another.
Sometimes it's used when God exercises mercy toward people who are vulnerable.
In Old English, when translating Hesed into the King James, they use a double word, loving kindness.
And often it's just simply translated as kindness.
When God acts in kindness in Hesed, it means God is being faithful to his covenant promises.
Paying careful attention to our needs, acting in generous and merciful love, generously providing everything for our blessing and benefit.
I don't know how many of you go, wow, that's great.
Or you just go, that's way up here.
In its simplest form,
God is just being kind in all that He does.
I'm here to love you, to benefit you.
David, in Psalm 23, in the final part of Psalm 23,
verse 6 says this.
Well,
doesn't say essentially because
I've got it on my phone and I've lost it. So,
but in essence, it's when the Psalm of David,
Psalm 23 is when he talks about
the shepherd. Though I travel through the darkest valley,
I fear no evil.
And that right at the end,
his kindness is there. He's a shepherd.
And
if you're a shepherd,
you're being kind to the sheep.
You don't lead your sheep into dangerous territory,
do you?
You don't sort of say, guess what, sheep?
We're off here.
We're off minefield.
Off we go.
So you can make it through.
The shepherd doesn't do that.
The shepherd goes, we'll walk round it.
The shepherd finds food for his sheep.
He is exercising kindness for his people.
For God being the shepherd, and we being his kindness, protects, provides, and guides us.
Isaiah 63:7. I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he has been praised.
According to all the Lord has done for us.
Yes, the many good things.
He has done for Israel according to his compassion and many kindnesses.
This theme of God's kindness is interweaved throughout the Old Testament.
I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the people of God, saying,
God is kind.
Contrary to other gods.
And then in Acts, Paul writes,
He has shown kindness by giving you rain and crops in their seasons.
He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy.
And that was when he was writing to Lystra.
And the focus of kindness was bestowed on them, and they didn't even know who God was.
We discover that God's kindness is limited not just to his chosen people.
It's bestowed on all people.
God's patient kindness is meant to lead us to repentance and salvation.
Romans 2:4 highlights that.
In coming back to my question,
does it remind us of anyone in particular?
We can see that Jesus is the embodiment of the outworking of God's kindness to all.
God has shown great kindness to us, and we should extend this to others.
We should, and that's the challenge.
And we see that in the passage.
2 Samuel.
David's awareness of his promise of being kind to Jonathan's descendants.
Living out God's kindness.
The example that God was.
Now, the majority of us will be aware of David's.
Jonathan's and Saul's relationship because we've read the Bible.
If you haven't, quick synopsis.
Saul was a great king of Israel.
Jonathan was the son.
Among many others.
David was brought into the royal household.
He was anointed by a prophet to be the next king before Saul had even died.
Saul and David's relationship went from being good to bad to good to bad to good to bad to good to bad.
To the point when David and Saul were mortal enemies.
David and Jonathan developed a great friendship.
And it remained even with the collapse of the relationship with Saul.
Just before they parted for the last time,
the two friends swore that as long as both houses existed,
David would show kindness to Jonathan's descendants.
Which was contrary to the historical practice.
New kings come in, old king, all the rest of the family gone.
Because they feared that the uprising would happen again and kick the new king out.
So it was their way of making sure they established new kingdom.
New king's now me.
So Samuel reveals David keeping the habit of kindness deeply through his body. His promise to Jonathan
was fulfilled.
David asks,
Are there any more descendants?
Aha, yes.
Mehiphazoph.
Or however else you pronounce it.
This comes from his desire to show kindness for Jonathan's sake.
What a real demonstration of kindness.
Perhaps not initially, for Mehiphazoph, the son, he's discovered that I'm still alive.
I would imagine if it was me, I'd be thinking, no, I'm Bob.
He's getting called.
You're dead.
I found out you're still alive.
You're dead.
You'll be soon with your ancestors.
Yet he bore before David, and something extraordinary happens.
Verse 7.
Don't be afraid, David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan.
I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather, and you will always eat at my table.
What a demonstration of kindness.
Not just about letting him live, reinstating him.
David's outworking of kindness blesses an individual, but reveals to those who he rules that kindness is a habit of life that influences his actions.
So in seeing the demonstration through the actions of David, then on to see Jesus.
We can see that kindness is essential.
And is essentially loving others enough to put their needs before your own.
Habits, easy, aren't they?
Habits are easy to adopt.
Especially the bad ones.
It's the good ones that are really hard to establish.
I know that there's that thing about if you can do something for six weeks, it becomes a habit.
It becomes a habit. Doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
I did the couch to 5K.
Couch to 5K, 8 weeks.
Took me 8 weeks.
Yeah, great.
I ran for that period, and then I'm not running anymore.
It's not a habit that I've developed.
Kindness is a habit we need to develop.
Kindness is a habit we need to develop.
As we see from the actions of David, from the actions of Jesus.
It's a habit that costs me yesterday.
£2.40 to buy a steak bake for this guy.
That's not that much, is it really?
Do you know what I think one of the roots of kindness is generosity.
How generous are you going to be?
I failed this week, and it's convicted me over the last few days.
Actually, I failed that. Maybe I need to think about that again.
Generosity is something that we all need to be working with, because if we want to be showing this habit of kindness, I think it is linked with generosity.
How generous are you?
And generous, I don't mean you've got to be giving, it could be if somebody says, I could do with a chat.
Are you willing to give up some of your time?
If somebody says, I could really do with a lift, are you able to do that?
I recognise that maybe I can't, but if you've got that potential to rearrange,
why not?
Kindness, we need to develop. What we need to do.
Here's some questions for you to consider.
Who can I thank today at home, in the shop, or at work, or while travelling?
Who can you thank?
Where can I give a smile, or a word of appreciation, for example, to those who clean the streets?
There's a guy that comes around and empties the bins and stuff like that.
Do we say that?
I'm going to embarrass Steve.
Steve, who comes to our church,
he's involved in keeping the Burley Centre tidy.
I have no idea how many people come up to him and say thank you.
Probably zero.
Because that's our culture, isn't it?
Let's be a community that offers words of thanks.
Let's be kind to people.
What will I do if I meet someone in need?
Am I prepared in advance to try and help if I can?
Have I got money or snack ready? And I did think after going to lunch, next time I go, I might have a bag with just a few things.
Because I don't like giving money.
I would much rather try and give them something.
Who can I show the kindness of the Lord to?
So I have been challenged this week in preparing for this sermon. And I need to get back on the merry-go-round of life.
Dust myself off.
Carry on with God.
Seeking to nurture the habit of kindness, because I recognise that we will fail.
Okay, don't think that I'm saying, right, you've got to get it sorted now.
Because then you start getting guilty because I failed again.
Well, what's the point?
The point is, you get back up and you try again.
Jesus did that.
Jesus said to Peter,
do you know what?
You failed.
You denied me three times.
Do you love me?
And he's reinstated.
Jesus doesn't say, well, you're gone.
Jesus doesn't do that. He would say, let's try again.
Let's try again.
Let's work at this.
Let's be successful.
In seeking to develop a habit of kindness, let's take each day as it comes.
In light of the words found in Colossians 3:17 and 23, we can consider
what would I do for people if I were Christ?
And what would I do for people if they were Christ?
Would that make a difference in how your day panned out?
What lengths of kindness would you show to others?
If we asked ourselves those questions and lived out the answers?
If we strive for this, who knows where we will end up?
I hope we may see an end result as offered in this book.
By Christopher J. Wright.
His closing words on kindness says,
The end result of kindness is that it draws people to Christ.
Amen.
If we all just showed a little bit more kindness in a world that is not like that, we will hopefully be drawing people to Jesus.
Jesus extended his kindness so much that he sacrificed himself for each one of us.
We are going to share around the table in a minute
as an example of that.
I've got some cards that I have produced.
There's some on the table back there.
And it says, fruit of the Spirit, kindness.
Just so you knew what the topic was on the card.
To develop this, ask yourself each morning, what would I do for people if I were Christ?
What would I do for people if they were Christ?
And I've left that quote from Chris's book.
The end result is that it draws people to Christ.
Sometimes something physical that you take can help you.
So these are available for you to take
after service.
So you can stick it in your wallet or in your purse.
And every day you can go, oh yeah.
As a reminder.
Because it isn't easy.
But we can keep striving.
We can keep building.
So that we can develop that habit of kindness.
As Jesus' example was, and David was, as we saw in that chapter.
You're going to study this if you're in a life group more and more. The other questions that you'll be thinking about.
But I wanted to leave you with those two things.
Just take a moment to sit quietly.
Because maybe God has said, you're doing okay.
You are being kind.
You're being generous.
Let's work at it a bit more though.
Because we could all improve a little bit more.